Hey, everybody.
Hello, and good evening. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday to you, Rochelle Crowley. How are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Doing well. Doing well. It's 4:30 on Tuesday, and that means it's time. That's stealing something from Fred's other show. every Tuesday, 4:30, Best Coast Business Live. We're bringing you the best people, the best businesses in this region. We love not only the Central Coast, the entire Left Coast or the Best Coast, as they say, and great people in business and doing great things in the communities. Always want to bring to you fresh content from people that you would like to hear from. And so I'm Ron Riley, President, CEO, Gehring Taylor Associates. We're civil engineers here. If you haven't heard of us, and I promise that's the last plug for them today. No, it's not. Gehring Taylor. That's the name. Just kidding. So. We have a really cool show today because we've got two awesome Community Corner guests and somebody that has a really excellent story from a longstanding business in the North County. We have Keith Schmidt today from Cayman Cyclery. In fact, he is a Cayman. So we'll get to hear all about that. And, with that, I think we're ready for Community Corner today with Jeff Lee, the mayor of Grover Beach.
Hey there.
For a little while longer, anyway.
Yes, indeed. It's fun. It's still fun to be mayor, so it's a good thing.
I didn't know it was ever actually fun, so that's okay. If it's still fun, that's a good indication. All right. So, real quick, we're going to talk about a lot of cool things going on in Grover Beach, I think. And one of them, though, I think, is that you just kind of enlightened us. I call it in the green room. But the... Okay, got it. Sorry, getting notes from the producer in the bottom here. So, okay. Yeah. Terming out. A lot of people don't know that there's term limits and what they are in the local areas. So, Grover Beach has a different policy than some of the others. What is that?
We do actually. You can be a council member for 2 4-year terms,
right.
And then you can run and be mayor for 2 2-year terms, mm-hmm. And those can run consecutively. And then you do need to step away from the council for 2 years or one election cycle. And so I've been on the council since 2012, was elected mayor in 2018, was reelected in 2020. And so at the end of this term in 2022 in November, I will have successfully completed my term in office.
Got it.
And we are always looking for good people to run for council and or mayor in Grover Beach.
Yes, yes. If you know of any, yeah, get them to watch this. Yeah, exactly. So, well, and I guess the key point of what you just said there was the progress made or what it has felt like to be the mayor during a very, I think, pivotal time for our community. I know personally of a lot of different achievements that have come during this time. Maybe one or two highlights that you'd like to recall?
Sure. One of the biggest highlights will always be for me is what I call Measure K14, which is our Let's Go Fix Our Streets initiative, where in the 7 years, almost 8 years now that the roads have been reconstructed, we're almost 65% of the way through all of our streets. The community said yes to an investment. And it's basically paid significant dividends. You can kind of see our cars are thankful, our walkers are thankful. From a horrible standpoint, we started with a PCI or a pavement condition index of 39 on a scale of 1 to 100. So you know how bad that was.
Yeah.
And in the 8 years we've come up to almost a 60 or 65 in that short amount of time. So we made great progress, and I always thank the community for saying yes to that investment.
Yeah, huge, huge.
Yep.
My road got paved last summer, I believe it was. And, ever since 2013 when we bought the place, and I think community-wide, we have the housing market to thank for all of our all of the equity that we're all seeing in our homes. But I think the street paving project has brought a lot of that too.
It just instills a sense of pride for the people in their homes as well, because you kind of see the investment on the streets, and then you see the investment in people's property. And so it's really good to see.
Awesome.
That's so true. And I can even say, as an avid scooter rider, the things that have gone on for the streets has been very awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's great. Well,
we don't want to talk about streets today. We want to talk about strawberries. What do you want to tell us about strawberries?
So I've got a quick little poster here, and you'll see all over Instagram and Facebook and all over social media, strawberries through Glover Beach. So Memorial Day has always been a big time for strawberry festivals and strawberry eating in the South County, and Glover Beach is kind of extending that that opportunity this year into our retailers and some restaurants. So if you go into a participating restaurant or retailer, you can get a coupon for 10% off your next purchase at one of those retailers. And in the restaurants, each of them are going to have a strawberry concoction for people to try and to eat. And so some of the locations that we have for the retailers include California Cool, the Thrift Store, Empower Yoga Studio, Grand Inspiration and Gifts, the Halcyon Store, Mike's Record Rack. If you haven't been there, you definitely need to go there. And then Second Chances. And then some of our restaurants that are participating are Fuego, which is making a strawberry cupcake, Grover Beach Sourdough, which we think is going to do a strawberry shortcake. Grover Station Grill is doing a strawberry compote. A Little Bits Cafe is doing their stuffed strawberry French toast. I missed Man's Bookstore. You got to go see them as well. Pardon My French is doing a whole bunch of strawberry stuff. Red Bee, I think, is doing a strawberry muffin. Spoon Trade is doing either their strawberry salad or their strawberry shortcake. And so all sorts of great strawberry opportunities. Come by one of those participating restaurants or the retailers and enjoy Memorial Day in Grover Beach.
Those all sound so good. Like, I want strawberries right now.
Strawberries. So you'll start to see these showing up around town. And so obviously there's the enticement of a little bit of a strawberry just kind of looking at you going, Okui strawberries, one of some of the best around. You got to love them.
So I recall a few different events in Grover Beach where I think maybe I got a heads up from you one time that you were going to go on Facebook Live and go to a few establishments that were celebrating. I forget what it was at that time. Are you planning a tour of Grover Beach when this happens this weekend?
I'm hoping to either eat my way through Grover Beach or shop my way through Grover Beach. So I anticipate some sort of social media this weekend. And we'll get some KSBY, KCEY, KEYT. But first, I'm here because you guys are the premier news outlet on the Central Coast, on the best coast. So I wanted to come here first.
Really, really appreciate that, Jeff. That's too kind. We do appreciate that. So can you tell us a little bit the genesis of this? Whose idea, and did it go through Parks and Rec, or how did this come to be?
Actually, ironically, at this point, it is not a city-sponsored event. It is a number of businesses that were coming forward and said, our neighbors to the east are not doing the strawberry festival this year. We probably need to say strawberries. And so we said strawberries. And so a number of people came together, and they include Cassie B. from Man's Bookstore. So Melissa and Z, Zafaris from Grover Station Grill, Goodell from Grand Inspirations, and then myself and my wife, Mary, along with Dan Rushing, council member for Grover, got together and said, how can we bring strawberries and some attention to Grover Beach from a making sure that we can have business orientation and business focus? I think one of the problems in some of the local strawberry festivals are they got too big and it got vendor driven rather than business focus and resident focus. And so we want to make sure that we highlight our businesses, our residents, our restaurants, and our retailers. And so that's why we're focusing on on having people come visit us, but enjoy some food in our restaurants and also enjoy some retail experiences. So want to keep it local.
Love that so much.
Tremendous leadership by everybody that got together to do that. That's
For sure.
Top notch stuff. And all of those people you mentioned, tremendous people to work with, and glad to have everyone involved in the city that I live in and love too. So, yeah. Well, hey, Jeff, we appreciate your time today. And I think we're going to see you every couple of weeks now. So we'll look to make this somewhat regular.
Happy to come by. Yeah, thank you for having me. And I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Bye,
guys. Take care of yourself. It's fun how the people that work at the cities around here are so approachable. I love that.
I love that too. And you know, the collaboration is great.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, we got. All right, we're going right into K-Man today.
Hello.
So, brief introduction is Keith Schmidt here. Believes the founder, and he is K-Man. So K-Man Cyclery, if you ever heard the radio ads, which is how I recall K-Man Cyclery in Atascadero. We have Keith Schmidt here today, and hello, Keith, how are you?
Hey, I'm good, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. Yeah, Rochelle just mentioned that she's a scooter enthusiast. I don't know if that's quite what you guys are doing in your store today, but I want to talk about a lot of different things, but I think let's just start out with what was the drive that opened up this business that's been kind of a staple in the North County for quite a while now.
So yeah, good question. I finished up at Cal Poly, and my only mode of transportation to Cal Poly from Atascadero was a bicycle. So I started riding 3 days a week and kind of got hooked on cycling and never finished at Cal Poly, but I didn't finish like you would expect me to finish. No degree. I ended up meeting a woman who was a swimmer, and one thing led to another, and running came sort of naturally. So I picked up the sport of triathlons. After a short stint there, I decided that, hey, this is really maybe what I should focus my life on. So I became a professional triathlete for 5 years. And that's kind of how I earned the name K-Man. They used to say, hey, go K-Man. So after 5 years of that, I was offered a position at Sunstorm Cyclery in Atascadero, which is now no longer. Mm-hmm. Worked there for 10 years. Mm-hmm. Did a great position, no future. They couldn't promise me a future. I gave them a 2-week, hey, I need to know what my future is here, or I need to step away. So I stepped away, and hence came K-Man and a daughter named Samantha. And I also got to say with that, I watched your program from, I don't know if it was last week, but those two people in the coffee industry that have 5 kids.
Oh, the Quints, yes. The Quint Five, as we call them, yeah.
That was super cool, yeah.
Yeah, well, they're dear friends of the program, so they'll appreciate that nod.
Yeah. So I had a child, Samantha, and opened up a bike shop. First 7 years, I tell the guys that work for me now that run the shops, I said, hey, man, you know, when I started, I worked 7 days a week, 10 hours a day. Mm-hmm. There was no stop. I didn't have anybody working for me. It was a grind.
Right.
And we got through it. It was all good. My wife, fortunately, is a veterinarian. So in some of the leaner years, she was able to come forth and pay some bills when I couldn't actually do it running that nonprofit bike shop. But we weathered some storms, I got to tell you.
Yeah. Well, a business with strong character around here does tend to give back, whether we're a nonprofit or not. And we appreciate people that have that spirit. And I know that there is this, I think maybe because of your experience of working at the other bike shop for 10 years, I think, and realizing the only thing that I can really do is run a business. I can't, there's no upward mobility for me here. And so I think, you know, we'll call it backstage. You were talking a little bit about potential plans for the cyclery and how that might be inherited by some other folks that would be really probably fortunate to have that happen. You want to elaborate on that at all?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So in the bio, if you go to our website, you'll see that my plan is to give the Tascadero shop to Stephen Ansel, who's a kid who's been working with me for 19 years now, I think. And the Paso shop will, John, a kid named John Rickert from San Luis will inherit that one. Yes. And it's kind of, you know, it's a, in my eyes, it's a $500,000 incentive for them to stay with me and give it their all.
Yeah.
And we touched on it earlier too. Who would have guessed that it was going to take COVID to really turn this business around? But wow, it's been amazing.
Yeah. So I will come back to the COVID thing real fast. I just want to say one of the things that compels me about your story is that I'm fortunate enough to be the owner of a business that's been established, actually been in Rio Grande for 60 years. And, you know, I reached a point in my career where it was like, I don't know if I really like working for people, you know, like I like working for people that are my clients, but not a manager. Right. So what could I ever do? And I walked right into the kind of scenario that you're talking, and it's just, it's a once in a lifetime gift. And, I know that the folks that you are hoping and targeting for that are just as appreciative. I think it's kind of the spirit of business in this area. And
I agree.
Really, I love hearing stories like that. So,
yeah.
Those kinds of stories are what really get, you know, our community to see, you know, what greatness we actually have.
Absolutely. So, yeah, okay, thank you for that. So talk real briefly, COVID. I mean, for so many people, it was, oh gosh, business is going to be terrible. And
Well, let me backtrack just a little bit. This is Bike Month, May.
Right.
National Bike Month, apparently established in 1956. No idea anything about what they were trying to do back then.
Sure.
But like right now, I kind of feel that this whole Bike Month sort of plan is to create some public awareness on bikes being more than just toys. I mean, they're a viable way of transportation. And I think through this pandemic, we're learning that it's true. We had a group called Bikes Belong, which is a lobbying group for the bike industry that went to whoever you lobby in front of to get laws passed. But if you can remember at the beginning of COVID, when all the small businesses were shut down, all leisure businesses were shut down for a long period of time. Well, within the first week of that shutdown, our lobby committee was able to get us put into the same area as transportation. So we became a transportation industry driven company instead of a leisure industry driven company. So we were able to stay open.
Yeah.
And then all, like we talked earlier, that everything broke loose. Everything we had in the store just sold. It was a beautiful thing.
Yeah. What would you say is the percentage of like the growth in people riding versus, you know, driving in that certain area, like, you know, that specific time? Like, what would you say was the growth?
You know, I don't know what to attribute it to other than, you know, kids couldn't go to school. Kids were staying home. Families were tired of being in the house. So it was exponential. I mean, it had to be, it went from maybe selling, you know, 4 or 5 bikes a week to 30 or 40 bikes a week until we ran out. And then the supply chain changed and we couldn't get bikes for a long period of time. And now that we can get bikes again, it's not like it was at the beginning, but it's ramped up pretty good. And me and Terry asked the question at the bike to work day we put on at Sunken Gardens about e-bikes and how they've sort of change the face of cycling right now. And I mentioned to her that I think probably 60% of our sales now are lower end e-bikes.
Okay.
Big number.
Right. Yeah. I've been seeing a lot more of them on the road. Now, I'm always curious, an e-bike is not a scooter, right? It's a bike that's what? It's just got a motor on it.
Right. And there's basically two different types, and I might get them wrong, but there's a class, it's 2 and 3, I think, or 1 and 3 are the types we carry. 1 has a throttle, 3 is only an assist mechanism. And I might have that backwards, but they don't provide you with a free ride. you are required to put forth some effort on the class three bike that doesn't have a throttle, which is kind of what we were hoping to stick to as bicycle purists, so to speak.
Right.
That didn't happen. We had to eventually get into the next class of bikes because that's what everybody wanted. They were more affordable. And it's crazy. It's a game changer though for people who don't ride bikes and people that are aging and feel they can't keep up with the younger crew anymore.
Yes.
How fast do one of those go?
So that varies as well. Most of the ones we carry have a shutoff, a governor that shuts them off at 20 miles an hour. So if you're pedaling faster than 20, it won't assist you anymore. The ones with throttles, if you throttle up and you hit 20 miles an hour, it go any faster than that. Okay. Some of them are 28 miles an hour, and they're pretty quick.
That is a lot of speed.
Yeah, 28 miles an hour on a bike is going to give you some road rash if you hit them. But most people riding these electric bikes aren't, properly dressed, and a lot of them still don't wear helmets, and I'm a huge helmet advocate.
Right, right.
I wear a helmet on the scooter. I mean, it's definitely needed, and, my scooter can go up to 30. That's why I was always curious, like, the bike versus the scooter, how that, all plays out.
Do you generally, Rochelle, sorry, interviewer is going to ask the interviewer a question. Do you stick to the bike lanes when you're riding then, or you're just in normal traffic? How does that work?
For the most part, I'm in the bike lane, but, I mean, I can move over. It's like the bike lane is, 20 miles an hour? So if you go faster than that, then you should move over.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's bike lane legal, and you don't have to register it with the DMV. That's why.
Yeah. I hadn't thought of the logistics of that. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So Keith, this divergence into the e-bike, is it as conducive to community as regular bikes? I know just a lot of enthusiasts that they get up at ungodly hours. They get up so early to go ride with their bike pals, but I know people that ride from Atascadero all the way up and down the grade, into Slo.
Yeah.
Is there that much community and camaraderie around the e-bikes at all?
I think it's developing that way. There are still those, people unplugged, we call them, that are a little, they don't agree with the whole e-bike thing, that are angry about the e-bikes and stuff, but
sure.
I hate to disagree with them, but it's really not because of a business standpoint at all, but it's allowing people to get out on bikes that wouldn't normally get out on bikes.
Right.
It's bringing people off the couch and onto the roads.
Yeah. And I mean, is that really what it's all about? The love of this sport? And
I think so. And I think it's opening up a whole new avenue for people to commute on their bikes. Mm-hmm. I know for me, when I used to ride unplugged to work at, it was a piece of cake getting to work, but man, the hilly ride home was like, but now with, a little assistance, it's just put the smile on your face and I'll pick it up. Yeah.
So real fast, professionally, you're a professional triathlete. Now, I think I understand that maybe there's sponsors involved and you don't have to pay to do your races, but explain, is there any more to it than that? Or
there is to a lot of people, but not for me. I was a middle of the pack pro athlete. Okay. I had a sponsor from Hine down in San Luis, if you remember Greg Hine. Mm-hmm. I had a Rob Rossi is a developer in San Luis. He would buy my airline tickets when I'd fly somewhere, and I lived downstairs at my mom's house, So I wasn't making a fortune by any stretch.
So not Carlos Rossi, it was Rob Rossi. Okay. Got it.
Rob Rossi, yeah.
Not sponsored by
everybody. And it's all so community driven. I mean, it was because I swam with his son, Steve Rossi, at the high school, and he looked up to me as an athlete that, Rob Rossi decided to help support me and my travels. And that's the way the bike shop that we built down there feels like it's kind of unfolded. This after school bike program we put on for the kids is, I totally do it for the kids, but it has helped out financially a ton too. That program is super solid. I'm not sure if you've heard much about it, but it's put on by the Lighthouse Foundation.
Okay.
which is a local organization here that deals with kids and drug abuse. And they've done some research and they found out that the first hour after a kid gets out of school is most likely when they're going to get into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So they've opened up these a few different programs, and an after-school bike program is one of them that they allowed me to do. And it is, yeah, it is, it's an incredible program. We teach kids, you know, rules of the road, some basic bike maintenance stuff. We try to instill them with confidence and most of all, I guess, be a good role model for them. And, right. And we get such praise from all the teachers and the kids, the parents come in and say, oh, my kid just loves that class. So we do it in 3-week blocks. Every school in the district gets a chance, and we allow up to 16 kids. So,
is that mainly North County, or do you do any of that in South County?
Nope, all North County. Mm-hmm. I think the South County might have some sort of program similar, but I don't think it's taken off like our North County project has. And I got to be honest, that's partially because I love it so much. And
it's a labor of love. And
absolutely.
Yeah. So if you're doing it in 3 weeks three-week chunks, and you got, I don't know how many schools to go to, does that mean that's something you're doing almost every day during the school year?
So we do it 2 days a week. So each school gets 6 sessions.
Okay.
And we basically follow the bike trailer around because we have a curriculum in our PE department that involves bicycles. So the kids get to ride bikes during PE, and it's only fourth and fifth graders. And lost my train of thought there for a second.
Well, the question is really, so if it's that many schools, is this something you're doing 2 times a week, like all the time?
Yeah, it feels like it. Okay. We just finished our last session last week. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, it went quite a while. I'll bet it went 5 months anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a long haul, but it's certainly worth it. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, admirable. Of course, anything with kids. And speaking of, I have 2 kids. I have a 7 and a 5-year-old, and the 7-year-old, she was a little bit nervous when the younger one started riding the bike with training wheels. So she'd been a little bit resistant to taking the training wheels off and actually learning how to bike. And, seeing that her brother could now do this, she taught herself on a Saturday afternoon to ride it. Which isn't my question. My question now is, I still have a 5-year-old on training wheels. We took him off. He's afraid to get back on it. Do I put him back on? What do I do?
No, I'm not a training wheel fan at all. I think the best thing to do is pull the pedals off of a kid's bike, let him use it like a scooter,
mm-hmm.
so they can get both feet on the ground. And mm-hmm. as soon as they get up, it took maybe a half hour with one of my kids, and they both learned at 5 years old, same age as yours, it sounds like,
right.
which is the perfect age. I think one of the hardest things I've done in the bike industry is teaching a 13-year-old how to ride a bike.
Oh, yeah.
They're just, it was rough. I had no idea it was going to be such a challenge, but much easier to teach them when they're younger. But yeah, take the pedals off, mm-hmm. let them use it like a scooter, make sure the seat's low enough so they can get their feet on the ground,
right.
and they'll just, build up confidence. Super. Yeah. You'll be blown away. Yeah.
I sense four. We just started that. They call it like a balance bike. So
you can go that route too, or you can just pull the pedals off your existing bike if you don't want to go buy it. Or if your kid at 5 is probably too big for a balance bike. So.
Perfect. Yeah, we're both getting tips for our kids at home. This is great.
Yeah.
We do this for our
Always
own.
Always learning something new.
Well, Keith, it's amazing to be able to connect with you today. And is there another passion project on the horizon that you're pursuing that's related to your biking industry or maybe not, maybe something else that you wanted to share?
Yeah, not so much in the biking side of things. There's a big event coming up called the Bovine Classic that a guy named Brian Yates is putting on. In fact, Terry knows probably a bit more than I do about that, but that should be an interesting, I hope he knows what he's kind of in for. And I haven't spoken with him much other than he came and spoke to our Team K-Man group, and sounds like a fun project. But from mine and my wife's standpoint is on our future plans are, hopefully in 2024, our K Cayman World Headquarters here in Atascadero, we call it, will be paid for, and we'll be able to pass the torch to our two guys and move on. We do a thing up here called the All-Comers Track Meets, which has become a huge thing that every Wednesday night in July we put on a track meet for kids of all ages up to 80 years old. We've had it.
Wow.
So, yeah. It's become a real kids event, but so that's one of our, will be one of our focuses. I'll continue to coach master swimming at Kennedy.
Yeah.
This is our last year at high school ministry. So our kids are all seniors. I've got 18 kids that I've been with since sixth grade. And they're all moving on next week. Mm-hmm. So that'll open up some more doors, but nothing hardcore yet, but we'll let Terry know. She'll be,
that's perfect.
And it might be something with her.
Well, and so there are a lot of references to Terry today, and she's, I'll call it backstage, Terry Banish, Deputy City Manager with City of Grover Beach. I think she's going to join us momentarily. Keith, really, I mean, we could sit down and talk for a really long time because I can feel how connected you are to your community, and I'm totally drawn to that. So, hey, man, keep doing what you're doing. And, I always say I got to spend more time in Atascadero, but now I really want to go spend more and like, I want to get on a bike and just hear this guy talk for a while.
Oh, dude, I appreciate it. And, man, take care of those kids of yours, man. They are.
Thank you.
I never thought I'd be an empty nester, but.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining.
One fine, sweet, but painful day. You're probably right. Yeah. Thank you so much, Keith. We appreciate you. There's Terry.
By the way, it's Terry Banish, a Atascadero Deputy City Manager.
Yeah, what did I say?
You said Grover Beach, my friend.
Fine.
I didn't even catch that.
Fine.
It's all right.
She could help Matt with that, too. It's fine.
I catch all.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. Thanks to Keith, K-Man. I got lots of questions now.
Are you riding one of his bikes?
I will be, because I'm buying whatever the throttle one is. That's my next bike in my life, because I can't keep up with y'all young people. So
San Miguel all the way to Atascadero.
Yeah, I could probably do that. Little pedaling, then do a little cruising.
Love it. Love it.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's going on in Atascadero this week?
Well, you know, talking Memorial Day, we got lots of breweries here. So I wanted to kind of lead in with, if y'all haven't heard out there, Wild Fields Brewhouse takes home 4 gold. From the World Beer Cup, so 4 gold awards. That's huge.
It is.
So,
big.
After you have strawberries, down south, come up here and do the beer trail, because we have Burgers and Brew Trail here in Atascadero, because including all of our fast food people, we have like 22 burger establishments.
Right.
So that's kind of your Memorial Day thing. And then all the breweries, we have a beer trail. So you have Wild Fields Brew House, so definitely got to go see them. That World Beer Cup is like largest ever. You have to read it because it's important. With over 10,000 entries from nearly 2,500 breweries representing 57 countries around the world, and they have 4 gold. So yeah, you got to make your way over there and enjoy the theming, because both Ryan and Jackie do a great job theming their labels around the Atascadero, and it makes it kind of fun. And if you have 5 and 7-year-olds, you need to go over there, because they took over the bowling alley over there at Creekside, and so you can do your rollerball and all of the different, ping pong and machines and all of that for the kids. It's a great place to go.
Yeah.
So Memorial Day, definitely cruise by there. There's also Santa Maria Brewing. There's lots going on there with the food that they have. We have Colony Mash and Belly on the other side of, Colony Mash Brewing on the other side of town. Mm-hmm. We have Colony Market and Deli, as far as if you want to do some good sandwiches and stuff here in the downtown. Got plenty of wine pubs and all kinds of things. Tent City Brewing has a food truck in the back, so you can't go wrong. Anyway, I can't cover them all. I'll miss somebody, guaranteed.
You've done a remarkable job. I'm still astounded. So Wild Fields, I think it was early COVID times when it was one of the first Riley outings. We went to the zoo.
There you go.
And, we went to Wild Fields, which we'd never been to before, and we used to bowl in the old bowling alley there.
Yeah.
Long time ago when we lived in Atascadero. So amazing stuff. And what a great event, and sounds like an amazing weekend coming up.
It is an amazing weekend. And you mentioned the zoo. The zoo will be open all weekend, Memorial Day as well, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. So get over there. And then also, because we have the Veterans Memorial Spaces of Freedom, mm-hmm. There will be a ceremony out there on Memorial Day. So that's important to note. And even if you don't get there for the ceremony, go over there and just kind of, you know, the surroundings are beautiful, and it's a good remembrance of the weekend and why we have Monday off type of thing. So the Top Zero Veteran Memorial Foundation, they'll be holding their 2022 Memorial Day ceremony at the Spaces of Freedom. It's going to be 11 a.m. and will be just about an hour. They're going to have a flyover by the Australia Warbirds. The colors will be represented. Then you'll have the national anthem. It will be sung by members of the Atascadero High School Choir, and Taps will be played by Darren Gong. A memorial wreath will be laid in memory of Cy Penneberg. And then also Seating's Limited, of course. And there won't be a barbecue after like normal. So they're getting kind of back on track.
And where can people, when we go over these things, it's fast. So
it is.
Where can people find out about more about that?
Absolutely. Visit atascadero.com and click on events, and you'll see everything in there. You'll also see under things to do, there's your brews and burger trail. So right. You have everything right there that folks can check out. So visit atascadero.com, and then you can check out all the things going on. So.
And get yourself a bike and go on that beer trail.
Yeah, I know, right? I don't recommend that. It's like month safety. Bike
you just
safety
observe.
Month.
You don't have to. You know, it's
no
just like tasting. You spit it out.
Yeah, no drinking and biking. No, you just have to get an Uber.
<There you go.
laughs> Something like that.
That can load your bike on it. Okay.
And we are open container, but still, you got to behave.
Right. That's fair. Well, Terry, we appreciate it as always. Every week, and it's amazing. People wouldn't think it, but there is more than 5 minutes of stuff you could talk about as a deputy city manager every single week. So.
Every single week. And when, you know, Mayor Jeff Lee started talking about terms and voting, I'm like, okay, I have that answer if you need it. It's the same thing. It's 2-year terms for mayor
okay.
and 4-year terms for council members, but ours do not have a limit, so they keep going.
They can keep going.
Yeah. Had to bring that in along with the strawberries. So.
Got it. Don't have to sit the 2 years out. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
thank you so much. Now
Terry.
I know what I'm going to be doing this weekend.
Yeah.
There you go. You got it all planned. And beautiful weather. I mean, it's going to be gorgeous. So.
Yes. I mean, it sounds like it's always warmer in North County, but it sounds a little warm right now, but you cool down with some of the libations and whatnot. It sounds like a wonderful time. Okay, I think we're going to put a bow on it. Rochelle, anything you want to say to everybody before we go?
I'm just so excited for everything going on. Thank you so much for joining us. So,
yeah.
Yay.
Thanks as always to our guests. And to anyone that's still watching this long, we appreciate you so much. And keep watching, and hopefully we'll keep doing great things in the community. And anyway, we'll see you next week on Tuesday, everybody. Keith, thanks so much, man.
Hey, thank you. That was really fun, actually.
Good.
Got a little nervous there leading up to it, but
that's okay.
You were great. Thank
that
you.
Happens every week. If you're not a little nervous, you're not alive.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So now we're gonna tape the real podcast. No, I'm kidding. That was it.
You're mean, Ron.